Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ready to go. Oh. I'm so ready. I was going to say Happy St. David's Day in Welsh. But now I'm not. But Happy St. David's Day in Welsh.
Thank you very
Welcome
much.
Welcome to...
That's easy, we can do that.
Did you say it?
No, I just said thank you. Dioch.
Ah, oh, hang on.
Oh, Christ. Don't. We'll get letters. Don't.
It's fine because I'm not learning Welsh.
No, okay.
So I'm trying to read it and it's not a phonetic language, is it?
Mm-mm.
Dead Gwela. Hang on. Dead Gwel. Dewi Hapus. Nope, that didn't sound any Welsh. Dead Gwel. Dewi Hapus.
Dewi Hapus wasn't too bad, but the rest of it was probably...
Dead Gwel. How was that?
Not very good.
Okay. Well, don't come back to us.
D-Y-D-D, isn't it?
Oh, hang on. Look, just on deef. Google it says pronounce. Oh, yes, that's what it says. Dith Gwel. Dwi. I don't know where the Hapus went, but anyway. Happy St. David's Day.
Thank you very much.
To one and all.
Yes.
I love St. David's Days because it always reminds me of school, because I think at primary school, even though it wasn't a Welsh
everybody
primary
school, everybody made paper daffodils.
Yes, we did
with
always.
Green straws and yellow tissue paper.
I know. Yeah. Or we were encouraged to wear one or, you know, it was actually felt like quite a big deal. And one of my best friend's birthday is on St. David's Day. So it's such a nice day. And
yes.
It's the start of all things exciting, like bulbs.
Yes.
And magnolias.
Yes.
So, on that note, welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, Lucy Freeman, Jeff Thomas, Matt Rodriguez-Payne, and Executive Director Cooper. Now, before we make a start on your emails, let's have a recap on what happened this week in Ambridge.
This week was brought to you by 2 million people looking at their radios in surprise and going, what the hell? We were catapulted into a deeply berserk week by beginning it in bed with Kenton, Fallon and Harassment, which was a bit crowded, to be honest. So Tracy decided to liven things up by pretending to be a burglar. I'm not surprised Jolene thought she was a burglar, as who brings logs in at 7:30 on a Sunday morning in a monsoon, especially when they're not even their logs? Harassment was very worried about Jolene, as she seemed so scared, so he cheered himself up by going to bed with Fallon and apparently thinking about Harry throughout, but whatever floats his boat. Fallon didn't seem that bothered. She was probably thinking about Chris Carter. And apparently their pillow talk involves recalling the lyrics to chip adverts from the 1990s. Alice was being very brisk with Harry the Hip Chilcot inquiry. Everyone kept assuring everyone else that he'd never realise it was Harassment who'd told Alice, but he'd have to be 15 times more dense than even Harry the Hip to fail to put two and two together. Harry bought Alice perfume, and my money is on Gucci Flora Gorgeous Magnolia, which retails at about 95 quid a pop, so my betting is that went straight on eBay before the door had closed behind him. Turns out we didn't even have to worry about Harry the Hip's involvement, as the three idiots managed to stuff the situation up entirely. Or by themselves. Harassment decided that rather than wait to see if Harry made a complaint, he'd effectively make a complaint about himself. Mom was firm but fair once she'd finished telling us all about her son and his unwillingness to go to school, which, although mildly interesting, took up quite a lot of time for what appeared to be no purpose whatsoever. Fallon decided to wade in and discuss it with Alice, who then decided to make absolutely sure that Harassment got fired.
Oh my God.
Mom was leapt on by a strange woman smeared in chocolate cake and wearing riding boots, who began the conversation with, I'm the woman who's not supposed to know anything about anything, but anyway, here is some more information that was never supposed to be known. Alice Aldridge, you probably heard of me. Jazza took on the mantle of agony aunt to Alistair and was put in the awkward position of being pinned up against the wall of a pub. Hello?
Oh,
What? Hello? What's happened?
Sorry, you went a bit went like a robot. I just heard that. Sorry, carry on. It was probably fine your end.
Okay. Jazza took on the mantle of agony aunt to Alistair and was put in the awkward position of being pinned up against the wall of a pub by the earnest lovelorn wanging on about how much he loves someone who it's unclear is that fussed, to be honest. Alistair spent the whole week saying to people, no, I can't tell you, it's very personal, and then literally a second later giving them the full Mills and Boone. This included his father, who surprisingly responded like a teenager. Jazza was so like judgy, you said, but you totally talk about Denise all the time. You do, babe, you do. Jimus got more and more shrill trying to talk to Jazza about it until only dolphins could hear him. It was a strange week for Jazza all round, really. First of all, he thundered that marriage was a sacred institution and then grabbed the mic and basically gave Alistair the green light to snap the rubber gloves on and get going with Denise. In the midst of this, he blamed himself for putting everyone off going to the pub by telling them there was a strong likelihood they'd have their ears ripped off by an XL bully. Incidentally, it didn't cross his mind that people weren't going to the bull because no one wants to sit in a pub listening to Kenton making appalling jokes or Jimus asking quiz questions about the tax system in ancient Greece. Only two teams turned up for the quiz. Team Jimus trounced everyone and said generously that Alistair was there for the sport, which is surely damning with faint praise. Anyway, Jazza's somewhat berserk solution to the whole pub problem was so to weird. Announce a Jazza special, which I presumed would be singing or haggis baiting or something. But turned out to be parkour, which must have been the product of a fever dream. A, he's only just recovered from a broken ankle. And B, what the hell was he thinking in a pub? People throwing themselves off the snooker table and vaulting the fruit machine. Everyone seemed quite happy, though, at being bought out on a midweek night in February, as the sound effects tape featured people sounding relatively happy and clapping at the right bits. So that means Marky's gang will have a nice full pub to incinerate when they decide to burn the bull down next week. Quite a bizarre little episode also with Susan and Neil, in which Susan declared she didn't fancy being a billionaire, which is probably just as well, and being profoundly unable to pronounce the word February. And we then toured the village in a helicopter with them while they looked at the place they live in from half a mile up. Neil rather ruined it by turning it into a sort of airborne parish council meeting. This then introduced the flaming charging station again. And we were only saying last week that had all gone a bit quiet. And now all we're going to hear is protests and Justin croaking away and Linda tying herself to oak trees. And it'll be root B all over again. So let's hope Alice gets involved. And within minutes, every tree in Borsetshire will be razed to the ground and the whole lot will be tarmacked over. The end.
What a funny old week it was. There were so many parts of it where you went, huh?
It was like, a bit of a, yeah, it was like opening a box and you don't know whether there's going to be a nice cake in there or a mad frog that's going to jump out and bite you. It was just...
It was an all-sorts sort of week.
Buckle up. Here we go. Where are we going to end at the end of this episode? Who bloody knows?
I hadn't really thought about the fact that, I suppose, if you're going to choose a hot air balloon ride, I'm not sure you would choose your postcode, would
yes.
you?
There's our house. There's my washing. There's the pigs. Aren't they small? Well, they would be. Yes, that's perspective. We've been through this on Father Ted, but anyway.
Because if they could see Martha's pony, and they could see Jazza. I mean, I've never been in a hot air balloon, but I thought you were really high up and people just look like flecks.
No.
Flecks of snow.
No.
No? You're quite close.
Yeah.
I don't know. Have you been in one?
No. I'm much too scared. I don't like that.
I'd
sort of thing.
Never go in one.
Spend the whole time crouched in the bottom of the basket crying, I think. So that would be
just,
lovely for
or
everybody.
Just thinking I could smell smoke. That's what I'd be like.
Have you checked that? Have you checked it?
Is there a ladder? Can we go down a bit? Yes. And just hover over a trampoline park? I would never go up. Never, ever, ever.
No.
I mean, it sounded like they had a reasonably nice time, but I wouldn't say that was like...
They weren't in a hot air balloon. They were in a helicopter.
Oh, my God.
Could you not tell by the noise? The noise.
And
the fact that they were all going to each other when they talked.
Of course, they're in a helicopter. Oh, my God. It's because I listened to that episode at about 1 a.m. when I came back from a night out. So it's all a bit discombobulated. Oh, yeah, I've been out twice this week, Lucy. Oh, yeah.
Twice?
I don't just sit in and do podcasts all evening. Thanks. Thanks, Ruth. I just got bought a drink. So, oh God, I feel really embarrassed about thinking it was a hot air balloon. It was a helicopter. I'd actually rather get in a hot air balloon than a helicopter.
So would I.
From the horror stories I've heard about helicopters.
Well, have you heard Jeff's billionaire theory about helicopters?
No.
He said it's the billionaire life cycle. He said they've got everything. So the one thing they can't, the ultimate toy is to get a private jet or a helicopter. So they have helicopter pilot licenses and because by that stage they're a billionaire, so they think they're sort of untouchable and godlike and nothing can ever happen to them. And then they immediately crash into the side of a mountain and die. And it happens so often.
How weird.
Yes.
What do you think? That's a sort of, they're taking the ultimate risk.
Yes.
Because...
Yes, only they tend to take their families with them. I don't, if they want to wipe themselves out, that's fine. But it's happened so many times and they must all think, oh, well, that happened to him because he wasn't rich enough. So if I make another 20 quid, then I'm fine, you know, I'm not going to crash.
And I wonder, because it always seems to be famous people as well, I suppose, because they're often rich people.
Well, who else? No one normal is going to have their own helicopter. No. They can go whizzing around.
No. Mm. Oh, God, it's horrible. I would just never want to do it.
No.
In fact... That's so weird, isn't it? Because even though there obviously was the sound effect of, I was sort of imagining, but it must be because it was late at night and I was a bit tired and had drunk
and also,
a lot of wine.
It was quite slow. They were talking about things that they weren't hurtling over things. They were going slowly.
So I genuinely was picturing them in a hot air balloon. Isn't that weird?
Mm.
But maybe it was also, because of the commentary and looking down. Oh, God, that's so weird. Yeah. Sorry, I have been listening with both ears very much connected to what's going on.
Or have you?
Would you say with the tree, I think it's... I thought it was really hard to chop down a tree. And I mean, I know from just living in London and people who have gardens with trees in them, you just can't chop a tree down these days without a license or without getting a special permission.
No, you can. If a tree has a tree preservation order on it, you can't. But if it's
But if you're in a garden, so I think probably any garden in London with trees is probably in a conservation area because it's got trees, mm-hmm. and there aren't that many places in London that have trees left. But if you're in the country and your land happens to have a tree, does it not necessarily have a preservation order on it?
No, not necessarily, no. Yeah.
And that's terrible. You shouldn't be allowed to chop down a tree.
I think what more and more companies are doing, because the fines aren't high enough, so they're doing it and then asking permission later, they're not asking permission, they're getting forgiveness. So they pay the fine because it's worth it, because they can make so much money building houses or whatever.
I think that's horrible, though. If a tree's been there for 200 years, it's not within anybody's right to chop it down.
No.
God, no. I'm going to join that protest. I know when Neil was completely heartbroken, I actually felt tonight he wasn't heartbroken enough. I'd have been crying.
Justin's, you know, everyone's a tiny little bit scared of Justin, aren't they? Because he's...
That's true. Owns them.
Yeah.
A bit of them.
No, hello. No, I no.
Is that your mum?
Yeah.
Or is it Anne again?
It's Jill Archer ringing me.
She in your house?
Yeah, she's got me on.
Oh, how sweet.
Mm. Oh, I have an update on James Everett.
Oh, tell.
Harriet and I, because we are neurotic twerps, were convinced that James now hated us and we'd have deeply offended him.
No,
and we spent the week texting each other going, do you think he's all right? Do you think he's all right?
I thought he'd probably just found something better to do.
Well, turns out you were right.
Yes, because he's only 20.
I know. Yes, I know. So I mean, think
what could he possibly find that's better than digging up old Archer's archive?
Well, that's what he said in his email, which I'm just trying to find. It's headed, he's back. It says, I'm back. In reference to last week's episode, young people do still go out. And sometimes these young people go out and then forget to email into an Archers-themed podcast. Happens to every uni student, he says. Nothing else to say, really, as Pip hasn't been in it.
No, what we were worried about was we didn't want to bother James, did we? But we wanted to make sure he was okay.
So do you know what I did in a very mature and non-creepy fashion? I emailed his mum. said, is Sean Jamesy all right? I haven't seen him for ages.
Is he okay, hon?
And she said, oh, I'll chase him up. And I said, no, don't, because we're trying not to pester and, you know, it's fine.
We want him to be having a brilliant time and
that's what
forget
I said.
that he has no obligations to our Archers themed podcast.
So whatever you're doing, James, I hope it is riotous and more fun than listening to a group of nut jobs. So, yes. Well done.
Well, it's
good to know.
He's having a good time.
So everybody that said, oh, there wasn't one this week, it's because James is having a life is what's happening.
So, and in going forward, if there isn't one, it's just because James is having a life.
Yes.
We don't need to panic.
Yes, exactly.
Hopefully we're all still in his good books, but he's got better things to do. And we should all get a little bit of...
We should all be more James, I think.
Be more James. That's
just
it.
Say,
yes.
Do you know, that's quite boring. I'd rather go off and do something more interesting. That's what he's done. Good.
But he does create probably the most interesting part of this podcast.
Yes.
And there's no probably about it. Okay, so Oak Tree.
Yeah.
Basically, we're just starting to. This is now the beginning of the new route B. Okay, well that's fine because at least we're cracking on with that storyline.
Can we talk about Alice now?
Oh my golly gosh!
I sent you a message when that scene was happening with some extremely rude words in it because I was just looking.
But we all were.
Yeah,
we all were.
Yeah,
I think as soon as Fallon and Alice had pulled up in the car park. I was going, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
No,
just go home. Yeah. Go home.
Yeah.
But what's really irritating about the whole thing, Lucy, is that Harrison was the stupid one.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why it's illegal for a police officer to talk about a case because the people do stupid things and that's what happened. Alice then went and did a really stupid thing. So actually ultimately it is Harrison's fault for telling Alice.
Yeah.
I know she was then overly stupid, but he shouldn't have told her in the first place.
I think it's an incredibly bad idea, like teachers living in the village where they teach. Policemen policing, police officers policing in living in where they're policing.
But in villages, that's what used to happen, isn't it? I guess it happens less and less. But we had, I had a big crush on the policeman's son. I remember standing outside his house once. I was probably about 12 and me and my girlfriends were walking past his house and he was there with his friend. And we were all friends because we were all at the same school. And then I just literally froze and I remember my mouth couldn't move. I remember the feeling now. I went bright red. I couldn't move my mouth and I was thinking, what has happened to me?
Oh.
I couldn't even go. I just sort of went, hi. Because it was like this sort of like rush of love that I never really experienced before.
Oh.
Yeah, he was such a nice boy. Anyway. Hi, David, if you're listening. Such a nice boy.
If he emails this week, next week, you're going to absolutely poo your pants, aren't you?
I am literally going to curl up and die and then book a ticket to go and live in Australia all by myself. I literally couldn't
Under an assumed name.
But on the other hand, if he was listening, I'd also be so flabbergasted that I'd probably also whoop for joy.
Yes.
So, but then as I got older and it got later into the future, that police house was then sold as a private house. So,
the police officers now have such a huge area to cover.
Exactly. So, you don't really get a police officer for a village.
And I suppose you can't live outside the area because the area is massive. So, you'd end up driving.
But do police houses for in villages still exist? I don't know. Like vicars get a house.
Well, they're often called the old police house, aren't they? You see that quite often.
So I wonder if that's sort of... Because there was that thing on the news, isn't it?
You certainly don't get paid accommodation anymore.
Right. Okay. Well, then that's changed, hasn't it? Because I think yeah, in the old days, the house obviously came with the job, didn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, quite interesting. But I felt, I mean, I was, yeah, screaming at Alice. But then the other side of me went, well, that's what you get if you do what you're not supposed to do, which is confide in someone outside the force sort of thing. And I just felt so sorry for Mom.
Oh, God, sorry. Just started
that,
Jill off again.
Is that your way of just telling me to shut up? What are you doing with Jill?
Sorry, I'll tell you in a minute.
She's sitting on your knee?
Yes.
Like a puppet.
Mixing cakes.
She's like...
ventriloquist dummy. Yeah.
anyway.
I must remember to wash my hands.
I just felt so sorry for Mom.
Yeah.
Because you could just see, poor Mom, it's a Friday night. She's like,
what the hell is going on here?
I know. And who is this guy with these friends?
Yeah.
Like, what is going on?
So he's brought his wife and her friend on a day trip to come and sit outside and lie in wait for me. And yeah.
Also, why is no one ever at work?
Yeah.
It's the daytime.
Yes. There's an old saying in alcoholism circles.
Yeah.
That an alcoholic, when he or she, when they go to a funeral, they want to be the corpse. When they go to a wedding, they want to be the bride. So they want to. There's this terror of being overlooked and a fear of not being able to do everything themselves brilliantly.
Oh.
And I think that's kind of what Alice is doing. And that impulsivity that led her to leap out of the car and say, no, 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 I'm going to do it. I mean, I'm just going to do it. When Fallon was going, no, 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 yeah. No, no. That's sort of... The impulsivity is linked to alcoholism as well. So it's the making really poor choices really, really quickly and then trying to sort of reconcile them afterwards. But also there was that need to... It's like Fallon said to her, I can't always be here for your drama. And that's what it is.
Yeah. But then on the other hand, Fallon was like, oh, yeah, because, you know, I've got to give Harrison some time. I feel like Fallon was being a little bit hypocritical then, not hypocritical, that's not the right word, but she didn't have to go around to Alice's and pretend to be on a sleepover. I know they were trying to help her, but, you know, some people just can't help
wading in.
Exactly, when actually it was their business because Harrison had discovered the fact. But I feel like they were impulsive. They were, you know, as impulsive as Alice in their actions.
Yeah.
And Fallon sort of going, you know, she was blaming Alice for getting, for even though she's the one that has been actively trying to get stuck into the drama.
Fallon and Harrison had discussed it. And they had made a plan of action.
And decided
in between doing crisp chip adverts, had decided that they were going to do this and what they weren't going to do and what they were going to do. And they'd made a decision and they'd considered it and they decided to do it in quite a measured way. Alice's was sheer impulsivity. There was proper calm, measured thought at all. It was just a total hair trigger. Whoop, out she went.
They were all idiots. They were all idiots.
Yeah.
And they should all take responsibility for their own mess, quite frankly. Mm. But of course, we were all going, no. If I was Fallon, I just would have jumped her and got her down before she could get to Mark.
Or just driven off and left her.
Yeah. That's what I would have done. Or run Mom over before Alice could tell her.
Who was that woman?
Oh, it's my wife,
Mom.
Oh, God. Well, those are the sort of decisions you would make when you're in a massive panic, aren't they?
Yeah.
Those terrible... I mean, this is the only thing I can compare it to is me getting on the wrong tube the other day and then remedying it by getting on another wrong tube. But it was like... it was only because I had to make a decision really quickly and it ended up being two bad decisions. But you know, when you're in such a panic and there isn't any time to do anything, you literally don't have time to think through the consequences, do you? No. Therefore, you get on a district line instead of a central line. Lucy, what was I thinking?
Duh,
but,
brain.
You know, I know it added 20 minutes to my journey. But, you know, that's what happened, basically, wasn't it? It was all dramatic and fun.
I think whoever writes Alice has had a lot of experience or some experience of being... knowing an alcoholic anyway.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. You'd hope so.
Think that, yeah. Just but the drama that everything is a crisis and everything is their fault and they must fix it.
Right.
And they must fix it in the most impactful, noisy way that involves absolutely everybody. The concept of just do nothing and just sit with the bad thing.
Or be patient.
Yes,
and wait.
Is because they can't, because that's why they drank in the first place, to take away that sense of powerlessness, or that feeling of things aren't moving fast enough, or this might go wrong, or whatever, any feeling of anxiety or you know, just having to sit with the bad thing, they can't do.
I really loved Alice when she was dumping Harry, though.
Yeah.
Oh, I think,
well,
like,
that was
did you not?
Everybody loved it, and everybody was so pleased, and then. But it just goes to show that, you know, it's one day at a time and you make massive cock-ups. It's not
It was like also hearing a new Alice, wasn't it? She didn't have a wobbly lip. She wasn't quavering in her voice.
She was assertive and she said, I'm not going to be able to do that. She didn't go, well, maybe I'll think about it She just said, no.
She was just really calm and strong and assertive. And I really wanted to... high five her.
But that's why this is realistic.
And I
because
did in the air.
It's not like one journey where you go, you know, you start off as a chaotic drunk and then you end up this strong, independent person who reflects and everything. You might do that one day and then the next day you might be a total shit show again. And so that's what we had. And that's what's frustrating, and that's what pushes people away.
Yeah.
Because it's why people end up not being able to be friends with alcoholics, even when they're recovering, because it's always like that.
But not
and it's
forever,
exhausting.
Surely.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I assume, Alice, I assume as a recovering alcoholic, you still go to a lot of therapy and meetings and all of that kind of stuff. Mm.
Yeah.
She's also the only person who puts sort of extra vowels on the end of Harry. 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 She's got three E's on the end of it.
Janine said after that episode, she said, never had such pride and respect, but Alice, today you were absolutely beautiful. So happy to hear Alice be such a strong, independent person. Yeah. Big sigh of relief here. And that's the thing. Big sigh of relief. And then by Friday, you're going, what the hell are you doing, you lunatic? You know.
And, well, do you think also this is a sort of going to be, this is going to be even more of a test for Alice now that she's lost Harry, but she's going to feel like she's lost her best friend.
Yeah.
This is
the big fear with them all the time is I've done the unforgivable thing now. I've done the unforgivable thing. So now it doesn't matter anymore because I'm not worth anything anyway.
I know. It was sweet when Jim was being... Oh, talking of Jim, do you think there were lots of dementia pointers this week?
I always think there are with Jim.
Well, maybe I was listening out for them because you've mentioned them, but there was... So it was when Alice came into the shop, she would have actually forgotten what she'd come in for. But he sounded a bit doddery, didn't he, about looking for candles, whatever it was. And then there was something tonight. He'd forgotten something or was a bit doddery again. I felt there were a few moments tonight and in the shop scene where... I can't remember what it was specifically tonight because I didn't write it down. But it felt like... Oh, okay.
He suddenly sounds quite old and quite kind of faux cheerful in that way that people are when they're not quite sure what's going on. I did love him talking to
go on
to Alistair though when he said,
"Yes,
of course, everybody knows."
I know, it's funny, wasn't it? It's funny.
And Alistair's all, what?
Alice is
but all it is my special secret. What do you mean everybody knows?
And I actually really liked the fact that Jazza didn't give him what he wanted.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, goofing it, yeah. You dirty slag.
Yeah.
I really sort of, I liked the fact that Jazza took the moral high ground. And yeah. I don't know why, but yeah.
Well, it would have been too easy for Jazza to have been a bit, hey, go for it, big man, and all that.
I agreed with Jazza in that actually, although Alistair is in love with Denise and she clearly fancies him, it's much easier for him to jump in because he hasn't got a marriage that he's worrying about. Whereas it's not fair to put that on her, really, when she might be...
Like he said, yeah, it's a terrible start to a marriage, isn't it?
Absolutely, to a relationship, yeah, to break up a marriage. And they have a son, and yeah.
Yeah.
So I was with Jazza, really.
Yeah.
And also as surprised as you that Jazza's speciality is not singing, it is parkour, of all things.
Do you think they just opened a dictionary, shut their eyes, and just landed on something? And it could have been gymnastics, it could have been diving.
Well, because also, was it Jim that gave... No, who gave... Alistair gave us very sort of... dictionaryized description of what parkour was. Instead of, I would have said, parkour is jumping off buildings, isn't it?
Yeah.
Something like that. But there was quite a
navigating
word description.
The urban landscape.
Yes, rah, exactly. Rah, rah. Yeah. But what's weird is there's a genre of voice work that I do and a few fellow Archers cast members do, which is for English language learning tapes. So people who are abroad who are taking exams.
Oh, you do it with
English.
Freddie Pargeter, don't you?
Pretty much everyone from the Archers does it. Because it's really lovely, lovely work and nicely paid, etc. But parkour comes up all the time. It's so weird that if there's a passage on, you know, they'll be sort of like, hey, what are you doing tomorrow night? And or what are you going to do on Sunday, Jane? Oh, I'm going to my local parkour centre. And it all, for some reason, in the world of English language exams, parkour is massive.
Wow.
It's such a big subject. And that description is what we would have said in a language tape.
Blimey.
So I think it must have been written by somebody who's done that in the past because it was so random. I don't really know anyone that does parkour, do you?
It's like parsnips and Welsh Duolingo. All you do is talk about parsnips and dragons for the first 6 months.
How strange. Mm. There must be certain topics that these exam boards sort of really, I don't know, like it ticks all the boxes in speaking perfect English or Welsh. But I genuinely don't know anyone who does parkour. Do you?
No. My son did it for a little bit, I think, when he was younger.
Did he jump off buildings, though?
No, he did not.
But is it where you go building? It's sort of like you can jump from building to building, and you jump, you sort of run up walls.
Yeah,
that sort of stuff, isn't it? Yeah.
Mm.
But you can't do that in a pub car.
No.
Park. What are you jumping?
You can't.
Off the
but he wasn't even saying the car park. He was saying in the pub.
In the pub. Swinging from the chandeliers.
Literally, it would have been, you know, vaulting the snooker table. It was just.
I mean, it was funny. I really loved the surprise. I just thought it was so
And
bizarre.
As if Kenton was just going to go, Jazza's going, let's do a Jazza special. And Kenton doesn't go, what is that? Just go, yeah, all right, whatever. I don't pass caring. I've had so many painkillers now, I don't know what's going on. Yeah, whatever.
Not Jazza's another the pub down tonight, special. Love.
Right-ho.
All right. Jolene's so spaced out now, isn't she?
Fine.
I think she's definitely on the Valium, isn't she?
Yeah. Yeah.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Also, I really don't think that Jazza telling a few people that he thought the bull is now dangerous is going to keep them away.
No. Or indeed telling them, if someone had got me out of the pub on a wet, to the pub on a wet Tuesday night in February, to listen to him basically telling his friend that, yes, he should go out with his woman that he fancies, I would have, A, demanded my money back for all the drinks I'd had, and B, probably killed people. So how everyone was just like, hey, that's fine.
What a great night.
Yes.
But the Bull is one of the most populated pubs in the whole of England, isn't
sometimes
it?
Apart from when they need to think of a new thing to do, and then it's completely empty, apart from Fat Paul banging crisps. That's crisp packets. That's what we have.
I mean, most pubs, it's just the quiz night, isn't it? That's all there is. Or a live music night often. They should have more live music. Why don't they do an open... I'm sure they do.
God.
Who am I to tell them how to make themselves busier? what else happened? Oh, did you see the news about Robert Snell?
Yes. Tell the listeners.
The news about Robert Snell. Well, yes. I think this is actually really good news because, as we all know, sadly, the actor who played Robert Snell died a year or so ago now. So they're recasting him, and the actor who's going to be playing Robert Snell is Michael Burtonshaw, who is wonderful. He's like radio royalty, and he's got a lovely, lovely voice. God, that's so good. The BBC adaptation of Barchester Chronicles, which you can get on Audible for free, I think, is riveting. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
So that, I think that's something to look forward to, and I'm really pleased about that because it would have been awful if I think it's a real tribute to
Graham Blocky.
Yeah, that's right. Because you get to have a fantastic actor stepping into very big shoes,
and also it sort of from a writerly perspective, it's horrible. Well, no, actually, sorry, that's wrong. From a listenery perspective, it's horrible with us thinking all the time.
Yeah,
waiting
for Robert to die. Yeah,
when Linda lets herself back into the house, is that when she finds him and all that? Yeah. And it's awful, and it actually distracts you from what's happening because you've the actor's taken over the character then. So yeah, should we do some emails?
Yes, please.
Terry White says, Cowhides, is this storyline simply pointing up the demise of rural trades? From Terry White, probably. Yes. Quite often, isn't it? We get that quite often. Lots of people said, do not film yourselves because they just don't want to see us. Yes.
Because I'm literally in my dressing gown now. No, I'm not literally in my dressing gown. I hate the fact I always have to say literally because I am in my dressing gown.
I am factually in my dressing gown.
Factually, I am in my dressing gown. It is literally wrapped around me. It is dressed around me.
Yes.
So that would, that wouldn't have happened, Lucy.
No.
If we'd have had to put our cameras on.
We'd have lost our authenticity.
Julie. And we'd have sounded different.
Yeah.
I'd have been a lot more buckled in, to speak. Now I'm just feel loose. Can't you tell?
God, I don't want to think about it. You being loose in a dressing gown. It was enough of that with Fallon and harassment. Thank God.
Oh, mind you, God, their chemistry is so convincing, isn't it?
Yeah.
They really do sound like they fancy each other.
Yeah. Julie Bacon said, we should be saving ourselves for nothing less than Ambridge on the Couch, the movie, which I'm confident is only a matter of time. Thanks, Julie.
In which Harriet and Lucy have a chat.
Yeah, in dressing gown. Hannah Whitehouse said, I can't stop laughing about you calling Vince Mince Casey. That wasn't me. Somebody good that wasn't me said that on Twitter. And then everybody immediately went, oh yeah. And then that was it. The names, I love the name. I love, somebody just comes up with one name and everyone's just like, yep, that's it. Great.
It's adopted very fast.
She said, I had tears rolling down my cheeks. I am not surrounded by Archer's fans and trying to explain what I'm laughing at is really drawn out and ultimately baffling. I have also found myself singing What's the Ellie's Happening Ear several times this week. It's a total earworm. And she said, who watches podcasts? Quite right, Hannah.
Yeah, exactly.
Rachel Pickering said she'd liked our suggestion of lip syncing, but she would like to suggest pip syncing. where we and the listeners could mouth along languidly to some of Ms. Archer's most memorable lines set to various bucolic backdrops. That's very good. Kate Lyle is listening to a podcast about two women who are making a podcast. I have started to worry about you two, although I suspect one of the women of being a psychopath, and obviously neither of you. Oh, shit, you aren't, are you?
She's listening. What's she listening to? A podcast about
It's an audio book about two women making a podcast, and one of them's a psychopath. It's called None of This Is True by Lisa Jewell.
Oh, I like Lisa Jewell.
There we go.
I think she's actually a sort of second cousin of mine.
Is she?
No, she's not actually. No. Oh. She's not. She's just a... No.
That was an emotional roller coaster.
She?
No. Oh.
I think she might be, or she was just a friend, or her mum was just a friend of my granny's, something like that. You know, you know, like a granny makes everyone sound like they're,
yes,
must be related to you.
Because they're all called Auntie Thing. So
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, Lisa, if you're listening, we're basically related. So hiya, and I really like your books. Thanks. Yeah,
and
bye.
She'd like to read them on audio. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah, I would actually.
Yes.
Although they're a bit longer than the ones I like to read. I like to be done in a day.
Anne Cure says this morning's adverts included one for a podcast episode about cannabis marketing. It's legal in Canada.
What?
It came in the middle of the discussion of Harry's hip haggling. Why, when he was seen outside a pub, did none of the observers, all one of him, oh, I see, one of the observers, as in there was only one observer, gossip at all? It's a village. People talk. Wouldn't it have got back to Alice without harassment losing his job? I think he was, the pub was in Felpersham. So it was too far away for it to have got back to Ambridge. She said, yes. She said she likes long form episodes like ours, she says. I love your long form episodes. So they can't be too long for me, although I know you have lives and like to sleep sometimes. We haven't though, Anne. Honestly, we do like to sleep, but we don't have lives. Well, I don't. She does.
I've already gone out this week.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm here for as long as you like tonight. I met a really... this is what's so lovely, isn't it, about us Archer's friends? Because I went to a lovely play reading the other night, Lucy, and I knew one of the ladies there, but I didn't know the other girls. And there was this girl called Claire doing it too. So shout out to Claire if you're listening. She said she would, but who knows? But just randomly we got onto talking radio, and then, of course, we got onto talking about the Archers. And instantly you're going, oh my god, you really think that and can you believe that so-and-so is, and for about the next 20 minutes we gossiped about the Archers, and the other two girls that were there were like, huh? But it's like that connection that football people have, isn't it?
Yeah,
you can meet a stranger, mm-hmm, and then if you've got football in common, you're pals for life.
Yeah.
And it's this, I just thought it's the same with the Archers. It was just, we could have sat there for an hour and chatted about the Archers, because we were both on the same wavelength. She thinks everything that we think is good.
Oh, very good. We like her. Hope she's listening.
Yeah, I hope she's listening too. If you are, Claire, thanks. I hope you're still listening. It was really nice to meet you.
For the first time ever, in a very strange thing, Michael Gorman and Rob Williams both sent us emails on the same day with exactly the same strapline, exactly the same header.
No way!
Yeah. They both sent us an email called Horrible Harry.
Right.
With the apostrophes missing on both.
Oh, well things. Done, boys.
And said, Rob Williams said, I'm guessing this is because you ladies are too nice and genteel, but could Harry's real addiction be something other than booze and or painkillers? Could it be, as Eric Clapton once said, if you want to hang out, you've got to take her out, cocaine? There was a lot of sniffing, which people said, oh, it's cocaine. But I think they were trying to say that he was very upset. He was trying to signify he was very upset about being
so
dumped, so he was crying.
Upset acting rather than...
Yes.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. But it could have been... Mm-hmm. The big C. No,
could.
Not the little C.
The little C.
Isn't it?
And also, it's Michael Gorman's birthday. Happy birthday, Michael Gorman.
On it the was, 1st of no, March, St. David's Day.
No,
the
no,
best
no,
day
it
of
was
the
last. No.
Juan Didlau. Oh, fuck. Mehawan birthday.
Right, you probably just upset the three Welsh listeners we have.
I wasn't trying to do it in Welshly.
I was saying you were just having some sort of psychotic episode. Well, anyway, happy birthday, Michael. Yes. Not for today, but for last week when it was your birthday.
For Feb.
He said, I've just listened to Monday's The Archers. It is rare, if not unprecedented, for the statutory two intercut stories in an episode to be both compelling and well acted. Usually there's a complimentary ho-ho or aren't the Grundys quaint story to go with the not so, with the so-serious one. The high point was the point at which all sympathy for Mr. Chilcot inquiry vanished as he revealed his nasty caddish side and he let slip he'd been done for drunk and disorderly. Bravo for Alice, yeah. Sucks boo to horrible Harry and shed a tear for lovelorn Alistair.
That was a bit of great writing, wasn't it? When mm-hmm. he suddenly said, when she just went, you got arrested.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved that.
Yeah.
Oh, it was brilliant.
And that was, I thought, good. So now he knows.
Yes.
That
yes,
Harry didn't. That Harrison didn't.
That Harrison didn't.
And
yes.
then Harrison went and stuffed it up all for himself. The silly arsehole.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. Harrison is as silly as Alice. And and he didn't discuss that with Fallon. He made that decision on his own.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, guys, just going to annoy us for ages and forever.
Zoe says, Harry had said, if I remember correctly, that his best friend had died from alcoholism. Harry also had a serious injury that ended his eventing career. My prediction is that it'll become apparent that Harry actually sustained his injury and his friend was killed in a car accident caused by Harry drunk driving.
Oh, gosh.
Not the version of events Harry told Alice.
Or he was drunken on a horse. I mean, is that...
Drunk
I'm assuming that must be illegal. But
yes,
that should be illegal.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes.
God, that's really chilling if that's true. Wow.
Okay. Another one. Scary plot prediction from Rosie. Rosie Porty. Hello, yeah. Rosie Porty.
Hello.
She says, this is about that she calls it Harry the Hip Chilcot Inquiry and the Nest. Gird your loins, she says. Alice's acute realisation that HHCE could prove to be a danger to her and Martha following his reveal of his arrest for D&D and his complete denial of his drink problem made me want to punch the air. I thought, hurrah, she's established clear boundaries and kicked him out. That's the end of that. However, as this is the Archers and the current storyline seem to be drowning us in eau de peril, this can't be the case. So on to my plot prediction. HHCE will go on a massive bender, break into the Nest, one of the creepiest house names ever, she says, with a pair of Purdy's rifles and hold Alice and Martha hostage. Harrison and Chris will break in and HHCE will shoot them both before Jacob arrives with his castration kit and cue end music.
Rosie. All in one episode.
Yeah.
A special live recording. Like they
I do like the idea, though, of... Alice and Martha hostage. When I say alike, I don't mean Alice and Martha hostage and Harrison and Chris fixing it.
Chris fixing it. That's what I like.
Ah, we've had a message about that as well.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. From the actor that plays Chris to
no,
you.
No, you haven't. No, you, shut up. You have. He's way too busy to listen. God. Him listening to this is as likely as the boy I had a crush on who was a policeman's son.
David. Hi, Davey. Okay, it wasn't. This is from Charlotte, who says...
Oh, a little bit of...
I know you really hurt. I'm sorry.
Me, Lucy.
I'm sorry.
It's mean that you did that.
I know, I'm sorry. You
actually could have made my weekend and then told me on Monday that it wasn't true.
But I'd have had to have made up an entire flipping email, wouldn't I? God. Anyway, Charlotte says, I'm glad to hear that Harriet shares my appreciation for Chris Carter. The topic of weird crushes came up on a WhatsApp group the other day and I said, is it weird to fancy characters on The Archers?
No.
She said, it's not weird, but it's definitely a bit sad. I've always imagined Rex as quite attractive too. And there's no way he would have been single all these years post-Anisha. I think he's probably on Bumble and has had lots of dates that we just haven't heard about.
Yeah.
I'd swipe right, she says. Me too, actually. While we're on the topic, I never used to think Fallon and Harrison had much chemistry, but after certain scenes this week, I've changed my mind.
They are a great couple.
Yeah.
Yeah. Long live their chemistry. It's actually really nice and refreshing to hear, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Carla's favourite line of the week was from Jazza. When Alistair, realising Jazza knows about Denise, asked, does everyone know this? And he replied without hesitation, well, I've no done a survey. She said it made me giggle. And she said that she thinks there are hints being given towards Jolene and Kenton leaving the pub, with Jolene mentioning a quieter life. So I reckon harassment is going to get booted or will leave until they'll go into the pub.
No, but I doubt. I mean, Jolene and Kenton can't leave the Archers, though.
No.
That would not be acceptable.
Mm. But I think they're going to leave the pub.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's all got to come to a head with Morkey.
Steve Parrott wants to know what Denise is doing on Suspicion on Apple TV.
Is she?
Yep.
I haven't got Apple TV.
Oh.
Which is a shame because there's lots of things on there I want to watch.
Sarah Kellaway wants to know why we've had so many references to the Ploughmans in The Bull. It now seems to get several mentions an episode. Is it just me who's noticed this, or have I always missed references in the past?
Yeah, I'm with her because the layout of The Bull now has sort of blown my mind, because obviously there's the main bar.
Yeah.
Then there's the Ploughmans, which mm-hmm. I assume is some sort of anteroom where you just have lunch. And then what's the other bit that they opened up?
The flood bar. That's upstairs.
Yeah, and is that never, ever used now?
No, that's where they have gigs and things. And
so it's a massive pub, isn't it? But these sort of new secret sections that I'd forgotten about now sort of make me feel confused.
Yeah.
Soon there'll be a parkour bar with no chairs in it. Just
Sarah has views on that as well. She said, weird episodes, that parkour in the pub one. Utterly bizarre, although I did enjoy the other cast members chipping in as the crowd and the use of the polite clapping sound effect button. Amazing that the crowd had all been calling out and cheering up to that point, yet at that exact moment in the script, nobody raised a voice and they all knew to clap instead. Incredible and totally believable. She said she's baby Greta is doing very well and is being forced to listen to the Archers on a daily basis. So I've turned to my mother already, she said.
Very good for her.
But she's now... Ardil popped up on Shape. She said she's just binge-watching TV. So she said Ardil popped up on Shameless.
Really?
Yep. It's only now I write this that I realise I need to get out more, she says, as moments like spotting Archer's characters on TV are highlights of my week. Midsummer Murders is prime Oliver and Justin territory. David popped up in The Crown, and listening out for the various characters played by Linda in Postman Pat makes 6 a.m. TV with my son more bearable.
Look, there's nothing to be ashamed of, because, I'll say it again, it's like seeing a family member on the telly.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, oh my God. Oh, it's Denise. Oh. And everyone's like, who? But it is like, that's why it's so enjoyable to see them on the telly. And you go, and you feel a bit, you feel quite proud.
I've told the story before, but I don't care. I'm going to tell it again. My friend was walking down Holly Street once, and this convertible came towards her with a blonde woman in it. And she thought, oh, I know her. And she waved. And she said, hi, how are you? You know, it's me. And the woman sort of looked at her and she kept waving and then realised it was Princess Diana and stopped waving.
No.
Yes. But she said, it was just such a, oh, it's you. You know, hello. Oh, God. That's,
Wow. Yeah.
That's said it was amazing. When the police, met. She had like a police motorbike person with her who sort of slowed down and she thought, oh shit, so she hurried off.
How funny. Somebody just, a big burly guy just took her by the arm and pulled her away from the car. This way, madam, please.
We talked about Doris dying last week, mm-hmm. which was cheery of us, because you said that we needed a death music episode. She said that it was the Day Thou Gavest, Lord, Is Over was sung by the BBC singers, and much controversy there was at the time. This is Kate Lloyd-Jones. Enough to make 12-year-old me listen in for the very first time. The team had a recording of a congregation in a parish church, but Equity insisted union members had to be heard in a broadcast, so we had a beautiful professional rendition instead that stood out like a sore thumb. And she's actually sent us the link of...
Of that recording?
Yeah. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, I'd love to.
She said contains Shula, Christine.
So, So it Jill was supposed it Tom. Was supposed to be the congregation.
Yeah, and it was all beautiful singers.
Brilliant. Love
right.
it.
Let's see if I can play this.
Radio 4. Now, the Archers. And Saturday afternoon found George Barford and Brian Aldridge crouched behind a hedgerow at Oak Farm.
Continuity's changed since then.
I'm going to have to. I will find this later, chaps, and put it in.
Were we about to listen to the whole thing?
Yes, because I've just realised it's 13 minutes, so I don't think we can really do that. But what I will do
is... Some people like long form.
Yeah, clearly, not that long. So I will find it and drop it in afterwards, and you can all hear the
wonderful... That was worth it just to hear the continuity announcer.
Yes.
Imagine if now they were
Is there anything
going...
else you'd like to tell us, Prime Minister? Thank you.
Yes. Have to see about the eating in here before much longer.
Our closing hymn is number 477.
What does Doris think about this tree clearing, Lark? Oh, haven't dared tell her. We did a fair bit of courting down Beecham Bank. One Sunday she was supposed to get back and wait on table, and she went and sprained her ankle over there.
Oh.
Better wait.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Grandad.
This is from Carolyn, who says, long-time listener, first-time emailer.
Oh, thank
she
you.
She says, I am part of the German fan base of the Archers. Are there others out there? Do I even want to know? When I'm on holiday in a different country and hear other Germans, I mouth Germans to my partner and we quickly scurry away.
That's what Brits do too.
She said she listens to us on her Monday morning run. And she said, I studied English and American literature. And during my very first semester at university, I attended a tutorial where we practiced having conversations and discussions in English. To get us warmed up a bit and to practice our listening comprehension, our very delightful tutor recommended listening, not to the Archers, but to BBC radio programmes online. For our homework once, we had to listen to at least one programme and tell our classmates about what we'd learned. You think you know now where this is heading, but no, I didn't discover and listen to the Archers. I selected some kind of news programme because I thought that's what serious students at university ought to do. So after I'd finished talking about floods and refugees during our next tutorial session...
Not parkour.
Another student started telling everyone about those two farmers and some issue with their cows or sheep. Sausages might also have been involved. I, and I think everyone else, was utterly confused. I'm pretty sure he didn't know what he was talking about either and probably never ever listened to or thought about the Archers ever again. But I did.
Oh, wow.
And so she found it. She went back and found that episode
That's
and then
amazing.
Listened to it.
Yeah. Oh, wow. She found it.
What
through
followed
a fellow
were,
student.
I want to say, years of more confusion. I couldn't tell anyone apart, but just enjoyed hearing the accents. I did develop a soft spot for Pip because she was the only one I could relate to age-wise, I think. So sign me up for the Pip Archer fan club. And later on became a big fan of Helen. I still am. Blimey. I haven't missed an episode since and can also confirm that I do now know who's who and what's what. She wow. hasn't converted her partner yet, but she says, I have started peppering our conversations with phrases like, oh, very style, and I am confused in an impression of Jeff's Febreze voice. I also had to play him a few episodes of your podcast with the result that we both speak fluent Febreze now. We have regular conversations in German and add random comments in Febreze's voice.
Oh, my God.
It has become such a confirmed habit that it's only a matter of time until I'll slip and say something like, oh, very taste, to a waiter in a cafe. She said,
I really, really hope that happens.
She said, thank you for what you're doing. And you make very many people happy, even humourless, sober Germans.
Oh, that is a cracking email.
Carolyn, you do not sound... Well, I was going to say, you don't...
You do not sound sober.
You don't... Yeah. I think that's great that there's a corner of Germany where they go, oh, very style.
That's brilliant.
Oh, dear.
Does Germany have an equivalent? I mean, in fact, anybody who lives abroad, is there an equivalent cereal, radio cereal, like The Archers?
I don't know. It's a good question,
interesting
Harriet.
To know. Oh, yes. Thanks, Lucy. Thanks.
Well done. This Jill has been leaping up and down on my lap, as we know.
All
throughout
right,
this
Jill.
You're,
yeah. Come on out.
Aimé Sturley wants to, she said, a clip for y'all. I want to hear you say y'all, Lucy. So that's why she said use the word y'all. I can't do it properly. Anyway.
Yes, I think, yes, it's less O-R-L.
Y'all? Y'all?
Y'all? No, I can't do it now. Y'all?
So listen to this. This is the first, this is a hat I've known in the wild. You ready?
Yeah.
We found a marvellous place to take Peggy on Friday. A history of hats.
Really?
Hats through the ages.
Oh, wow.
They're obsessed. What? So clearly this isn't a recent obsession. It's been going on for many, many years because Jill sounded very young there.
Yes. Mm. Where was this? Where?
I don't know.
Where is all this archive found?
It's on YouTube.
Really?
Yeah. Don't tell James Everett that we've busted. I've bust his.
Lucy.
Bust his sauce right open.
Since the episode where James Everett did not provide the archive, we've since had other listeners chipping in.
I know.
Archive.
If anybody wants to fill the void caused by somebody young having a life, feel free. Then I can play the What the Hell Is Happening Here jingle again, and then you'll all be singing it all week again. Sorry.
Hats through the ages. That's brilliant.
I'm going to play it again because I love hearing Jill sound all perky.
Yes.
Oh, we found a marvellous place to take Peggy on Friday. A history of hats.
Really?
Hats through the ages.
What does she mean, a place to take her? And then it's a history of hats. Does she mean a museum where they have a history of hats?
Marvellous.
You can't take someone to
a history
of hats. It's not a... That's an ephemeral thing, isn't it? I don't know.
I assume it must have been an exhibition.
Mm.
Wow. That is classic. Brilliant.
And now we are crossing over to Radio Borchester, where Febreze is hosting a phone-in.
Radio Borsetshire.
Colin, I am fed up of eating lunch at my desk. It is bad for my postures and is messy. Graham emailed to ask if I wanted to go to cinema tonight, and I couldn't say yes because Y key is stuck down with the wasabi, so I had to say affirmative like I am on a Star Trek. Can you clean my keyboard, please? Well, can you give me the sprayer then, please? Yes. Now? Now? Oh. Hello, this is me, Febreze of Felpersham, looking like I have just stepped out of the salon, because I have. I have not seen what we are phoning in about this week. I used script to mop up where I spilled my miso earlier. Oh, there we are. Right, today's phone-in is on blue plagues, and does Ambridge have enough? Colin, I do not think we should have any plagues. especially not blue one. Is that the thing now? What are symptoms? I have been feeling a little queer all day. Colin, do you think I have blue plague? What? A plaque? Well, that is just as bad. Nobody should have any plaque if they brush properly, and especially not blue, unless they are Smurf. Colin, are you drunk? They're what? Oh, I see. Well, listeners, today we are have a phone-in about blue plaque, which are blue tile thing stuck to front of house to say, here lived a very important person who invented the kettle or something. Now I come to think of it, I see lots of them in Stratford-on-Avon, which is all half timber and merchant and ivory. So why have Ambridge not got any? Colin, let us open the phone lines, please. Hello, hello. Who is first call?
Hi, Fabrice. I think blue plaques in Ambridge is a fantastic idea. And my suggestion would be my dear husband, Nigel Pargeter.
Oh, for services to aviation? Or the roofing industry?
No, for all the work he did during his lifetime for the good of Ambridge.
Oh, what was that?
What was that?
What was the work he did for the good of Ambridge?
Well, it was very much a rich-to-riches story, Fabrice. He really pulled himself up by his bootstraps, you know? I mean, with only the benefit of a private school education, a stately home, and an enormous inheritance from his very wealthy father, he managed to turn Lower Loxley into a, well, a very profitable stately home, ready to be handed on to his son, although he seems to be happier messing about with liver at the moment.
I see. Did he do anything for anyone whose surname was not Pargeter?
I think he once lent Tim Beecham a tenner, if that helps.
Not really. No, I am not sure the blue plaque people are going to go for a ooray in an ice cream van. Sorry, Lady Elizabeth. Next!
Febreze, I would like to suggest someone who has the gift of communication, charisma, and who works with the community on a daily basis to improve the quality of life for the residents of Ambridge. I'm pretty sure you know who I mean.
Oh, now, Linda, I think I can see where you are go with this.
This is no time for false modesty, is it, Febreze? I mean, this person's good work has already been recognised.
That is true, yes. Well, if you are sure, Linda.
I am. It feels right that as I begin to bow out of being the nucleus of village activities, that my contribution is recognised.
You?
Yes. Who did you think I was talking about?
Me.
But I said someone who'd already been recognised.
Yes, still me. I was awarded the Platinum Tweezers for services to ear air by the Borchester Beauty Network. There was a ceremony with tables.
Fabrice, I got an MBE.
Yes, and you should be satisfied with that and not want a blue plague too. Greedy lady. Who please is next? I feel all hot and bother now.
Hi, Fabrice. I'd like to suggest a true Ambridge treasure. Someone who has held the village together on so many levels for so many years.
It is not you, is it?
What? No, it's Gran. Peggy Woolley. A woman who, by the discreet promise of financial incentive, has managed to smooth many problems for people in the village. Admittedly, all within one family.
Well, I think that is the best idea yet. She has been around for many hundred of years and is a scary old lady. Yes, that feel right. Where would you like to put the blue plaque?
Well, I was thinking just under the Peggy Woolley Memorial window, maybe.
Oh, yes, that would work.
Yes. On the Church of the Immaculate Woolley, close to St. Grand Square. Ideal position. Oh, and while I've got you, Febreze.
Yes?
I'm not sure if you know, but do you remember your old cat, Hilda Ogden? Grand's had to go into a home, and we were just wondering if you...
Oh, what a shame. Line gone dead. We lost Kate there. Well, thank you for very interesting suggestions, everybody except Linda. Frankly speaking, I do not think there will ever be a blue plaque for anyone in Ambridge, but it will give everyone a lovely excuse for a big argument, which is what they like best. Bye!
Radio Borsetshire.
Thank you very much, Fabrice, and various other people who I can't remember because I wrote it so long ago.
That was a long, whatever it was, anyone, it was a long time
who
ago.
Anyone was. And Harriet's been skiing at least 3 times since then. So she doesn't know either. And she's going again.
Hello, Zeke! We don't mention.
Okay.
We don't mention. Thank God.
Why
remember?
Don't we mention? Because of being burgled. No.
I'm not telling anyone. Least of all my family.
Okay. Do they not know you're going? Are you going to say I'm just popping to the shops in Salopettes?
I'm just popping to visit an elderly relative for 3 days.
What? Why is Mummy wearing a helmet to go and...
Where are you going, Mummy?
Come
nowhere,
we
darling.
Come.
I just am taking a very long train ride to Scotland to visit a second cousin who may or may not be Lisa Jewell. Anyway, thank you. Moving on, Lucy.
That's it, we're done.
Oh, great. Okay, cool.
It's all over.
Because James ever.
Yeah.
Without, no, I'm not saying that without James we lose shape. I'm just saying I miss that little hill, you know? Like,
yes,
that was
yes.
The sort of, you know, the yep. Sort of.
It was the final
almost
bend.
Part two,
towards
wasn't it?
The, yeah. Towards the finish line.
Towards the finish
yeah.
line.
Yeah.
So, well, that's good.
Well, we did okay. say we wanted him to have a life, and now he's gone and got one. So there we go.
No,
it's
I'm
our
not
own
sure. I do like it.
No.
No, it's great. We've got other archive. We're
yes.
good.
Yeah.
And James, we can't wait to hear from you whenever you are ready.
When you've been dumped, James, just come back to us.
We're here for you.
We'll still love you. Your two crackers aunties on the podcast. We still love you.
We'll soon just start repeating what you originally said anyway, because it was because
well, no
so
one ever knew what they
stuff.
Were anyway. So
no, exactly.
It didn't matter.
You completely forget.
Yeah,
but it's the same with the Archers because I didn't have time to listen again, obviously. Or
what do you mean it's the same with the Archers? He was playing the Archers. What are you talking about?
No, but you know, like you, I've already forgotten all those.
Oh,
what
I see.
The hells.
Mm.
But it's like when you get to Friday. I have no idea what happened on Sunday or Monday in the
I know,
Archers.
So that's why I have to do the monologue as I'm going along, because otherwise Monday just feels, I think, was that, you know, Sunday evening feels like about a month ago, and I think surely that was, I have
I
to
know.
Check all the dates.
Mm. I know, it's incredible hearing your monologue and going, wow, and that happened as well.
Well, especially this week, where we, you know, like we said, every episode, you just had no idea where we were going to end up.
A delightful little treat of a surprise.
And now we're skydiving with joy. Are we? All right, then.
Hello. Oh, hiya, Susan. Nice hot air balloon. Sorry, helicopter.
I've got a bit tangled up in your propellers there, love. Could you tell him to just stop for a minute?
It's a shame that Joy wasn't more involved in the Harry storyline, because it would have been nice just
hello,
to hear
hello, Harry.
Harry. Harry. Harry. Okay. Oh, and
or
I'm
Pip
annoyed that we
well.
Didn't hear... Harry. I really want to hear Kate talking... Because I was sad that we didn't... It's a shame that Alice was telling Adam about dumping Harry, because it was Kate all along who'd talked about his...
Oh, God, that
oh
was Jill again.
Gosh, she's... Is she sitting on a perch who just quietly... and then occasionally speaking. Lucy, if you've enjoyed the show, give us a review on iTunes.
Am I allowed? I don't think I can, though. Can I?
You can.
Can
yeah,
I?
You can. I think you can do
can
it more than
can
once.
I do it as me?
Not that I've
no.
done it more than... You can. No, actually, you can do it as you, but only once.
Okay.
I'm not sure you can. Yeah?
I've just discovered an email I forgot.
Oops.
From Daniel Millichip, who is our gay correspondent.
Hi, Daniel.
He says, I'm off to see Six in London today for the second of 3 times this year. This year? It's February.
I'm off to see it for the second time in the summer.
He said, it's more offensive for people to be offended about Paul and the risk of him being a stereotype. This is my actual life. Just chill, gang. Appreciate this email is about a month late, but it's not like I go to Six every month. Well, clearly you do, Daniel, if it's the third time you've been and it's March.
Six is to Daniel what skiing is to moi. No, I'm not going 3 times. But I am going back to Six because it's really good fun.
Are you?
And the music's really great. You should listen to the soundtrack.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really good fun, Lucy. It's funny. The lyrics are super funny. And it's only about an hour. If you want a quick blast of...
Yeah.
If you like horrible histories and musicals and not being in the theatre for a very long time, it's the perfect show for you.
Okay.
Yeah. People probably don't watch Horrible Histories because it's a CBBC show. But if you like, you know, the podcast The Rest is History or... No, what is it? That funny one. Is it that? No. Not The Rest is Politics. No. What's the history one? The funny one?
You're Dead to Me?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
Okay.
Ah, Greg Jenner. Yeah.
I knew someone had said something. And it's Matt. Hang on a sec. Oh. Where's it gone? I can't find anything at the minute. Oh, there we go.
You've got a lot to find.
I know.
I always think, honestly, I don't give you enough credit for the organising bits you do for this podcast.
No, I'm not sure I deserve any after today. But anyway, this is from Matt Rodriguez Payne, who says, can I mention a definite candidate for what the hell regarding Jazza's speech in the pub? Had the writers gone on strike, rendering their writing duties to be done by the stoner office lackey? Also, about halfway through Thursday's episode, I am convinced that Adam referred to Kate as the oral expert. Very kind of him to blow his sister's trumpet, pun not intended, but information like that should really come from her and probably never be mentioned again. So last week you got your era, Kiddies TV in your era got mentioned.
Oh, yes.
Which
yes.
was...
Rugrats.
And I got one this because me and Matt are sort of similar.
From the
vintage.
1940s.
Yes. Sorry.
Couldn't resist.
What is yours? It is Grange Hill.
Oh, Lucy, that's mine too.
So
I was a big fan.
You have to imagine a big sausage on a fork appearing into the middle of the screen.
Titles ever.
Which nobody outside the UK will get. But anyway, tough.
Oh, for anybody outside the UK, it was a very, very popular children's show, but with some quite adult themes, set in a secondary school.
Up until Grange Hill, if you watched BBC children's television...
Hello, children.
Yes, you thought everybody... It was like the Box of Delights. Everybody wore...
Victorian clothes.
Yes, basically. And they were either adaptations of like the Bastables and all that, Enos Bit stories, or the Railway Children, or, you know, things like that. So you'd think that every child in the UK went to private school and...
Even if they were dressed in rags.
Yes.
Hello, sir. I am a starving child. Please may I have a sixpence?
Exactly. And then Grange Hill came along and everyone went, oh, that's my school. And
I
found it terrifying, terrifying. So, you know, that
But also
fitted,
I was quite young watching it, Lucy. I'm not saying that just to annoy you. But so I found it quite scary because some of the stuff like... Yeah. Glue sniffing and the drugs, especially the Zamo stuff.
Yeah.
That was pretty frightening, wasn't it? Quite disturbing anyway as a young person.
Right, should we say goodbye?
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
And thank you for listening. Thank you for reviewing. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you so much for contributing. And thank you, Lucy, for doing a cracking job as ever.
Goodbye. And... enjoy your visit to your elderly relative.
My week off. My night off. My night off. Another night off for me. Another pod off. Oh.
Pod off.
That's so funny. That's brilliant. Oh, Matt, you're a genius.